Before we begin today's episode, we want to provide a trigger warning. This episode will include works discussing or are related to death, violence, police brutality, or racism, and will include explicit language. If any of this is triggering to you or makes you uncomfortable, we encourage you to, at your own pace, go to the links in our description and consider researching and helping to fight systemic racism and injustice in our communities. Thank you. Hey everyone, tonight we are going to be doing things a little differently. I'm sure you have all heard about the recent protests and all the lives lost due to police brutality that have come to light. The horrific reality is that the threat of police brutality is ever present in the lives of people of color, specifically Black and Indigenous individuals. Even though the protests are recent, this is not new or novel. Today we have decided that the messages prevalent in the current protests are more important than anything we could bring to the table. And what does need to be said does not need to come from us, but by individuals most affected by this violence. We asked some very talented individuals to participate in today's episode to write or express what is in their hearts and weighing on their souls right now, and the voices you will hear tonight are full of power and beauty. We hope that you hear and experience tonight will bring to light some realities you may not be aware of, and light a fire for change in our hearts. Included in today's episode will be some information on where you can donate and get more information on some very important organizations that are working against the force of racial violence in our communities. To start off our evening, we have a piece of poetry entitled Eyes Closed by Chris Eli Black, a young playwright and theater practitioner.
Eyes closed. I close my eyes so that I can try to imagine how you must feel, what you must be thinking. Life stripped away, shot away, scratched away, like a lottery ticket that never has the winning numbers. Another name added to the list, the Hall of Fame plagued with the faces of so many young men who never knew life, whose destiny was cut off at the hands of a hand ready to pull and release, popping more caps than a bottle, so rap about that. I bet you won't spit about that like this slaying that I wrote, since when has our skin become society's sin? And then an open recycling bin for any men who happen to have a thin, tiny, shiny badge. They're gun happy. Got on blue so you feel bigger happy. It's Wednesday so I'ma shoot a nigga happy. Hate me cause my voice is a little too soulful, a little too loud, my body a little too slim, a little too fit. Maybe you feel threatened so you make Black men think twice about going outside. Boys can't play with toys because they may be mistaken. Can't walk down the street cause my life might be taken like they took yours. Death catches us all at one point, but suddenly life expectancy is getting too short not to take notice. And I'm sickened by my own face, my own hands, weapons, tools to be taken in the name of self-defense. I'm saddened by the slots left empty, the moms having to form clubs with other moms who have lost their sons around the same time for the same reason, which is no reason at all. Terrified. Holding on to life at night like a toddler trying to stay up past the thunder. No protest. No song. I open my eyes and see what you're missing. Then I put my head down and ask, when will it end? When will it actually end?
That was a piece of poetry named Eyes Closed by Chris Eli Black. The first organization we want to feature tonight is probably the one with the most name recognition, Black Lives Matter. We here at Earworm firmly believe in the work being done by this organization and encourage you to check out their website at blacklivesmatter.com. There's also another site where you can find more information, places to donate, and other like-minded organizations at blacklivesmatters.carrd.co. The next artist is Brian Champion, a rising senior in college as well as a young actor, director, and theater practitioner, with an expressive piece about performing while Black.
Theater is a lifeline. It brings so many people together and creates connections for life. Yet, theater was not always so welcoming and accepting of Blacks and POC performers. In fact, the desire to include African Americans were met with white actors refusing to perform or Black actors receiving threats. Fast forward to 2020, and you're a POC performer with the goal to be in the entertainment industry. So you decide to receive a formal education in theater from a university. Unbeknownst to you, you're about to meet financial barriers of receiving the best education in your field. Fees that the lower class families, most likely POCs, cannot afford, which puts us at a huge disadvantage of receiving the best quality education that we can. Even those of us with formal training aren't exposed to artists of color. Personally, the only time a playwright of color is repeatedly brought up to me was August Wilson, who is a brilliant playwright, don't get me wrong, but he is not the only person of color out there with good works. Why is it that POC works are only well received and discussed when non-POC people enjoy them? Doing theater in a university setting, I have always attempted to advocate for opportunities for people that looked like me and talked like me. That means doing shows that are open cast and doesn't place blockages on anyone, especially POCs, as well as discourage us in a way that we don't even want to audition out of concern that we won't be considered for a role because of our skin. That means white professors not doing all ethnic shows just so they can have bragging rights, but bringing in guest artists that reflect the diverse nature of these shows that they want to do. When white professors attempt to do shows like Fences and Colored Museum and other plays that are driven by POC characters, it creates a divide, as it's usually in a stereotypical way of how that race is perceived in that professor's head, and not at all accurate to how we actually are, because we're all different, which becomes insanely offensive. Let's continue to create new opportunities for POCs in theater, and that starts in our universities.
That was Brian Champion with a spoken word piece about his own experiences. The next organization we want to discuss is the Innocence Project, probably most known for their involvement with the cases of the Central Park Five. This organization works with anyone who has been wrongly convicted or involved with the prison system and helps build their case and prove their innocence. On their website, innocenceproject.org, you can find information on how their organization works and how they operate within the prison industrial complex, a master list of cases they have won, and a place to donate. Up next is James Demps with a moving song called Freedom that he wrote and performed. James is currently a rising junior in college. His song is based on the poetry of Langston Hughes.
Freedom won't matter if I'm dead. We gotta very thing keeping us down. And I'm so tired of people saying we should wait, because with each passing day our freedom gets farther away. I planted my seed in the ground and we got a long road ahead, but we gotta walk it, cause our freedom won't matter if we're dead. We gotta rise up. Together we'll stand. If we wanna take our rightful place on this land, we can't just let time pass us by. If we don't fight, then we will never see democracy. Oh,
and that was Freedom by James Demps. Our third organization that we want to focus on is 8 to Abolition. This movement focuses on the 8 reforms that were previously identified by Campaign Zero, but moving past that idea and stating that although those reforms have potential to make positive change, they are being implemented and have proven that they are not enough. 8 to Abolition outlines 8 ideas and initiatives that would move toward the end goal of transforming our current law enforcement system. Their website is 8, like the number 8, to abolition.com, where you can read their ideas and the process of implementing them. The next featured artist is Gabriel Hannons, who will be reading Letters from a Birmingham Jail by Martin Luther King Jr. Gabe is a behavior therapist, artist, and activist.
My friends, I must say to you that we have not made a single gain in civil rights without legal and nonviolent pressure. History is the long and tragic story of the fact that privileged groups seldom give up their privileges voluntarily. Individuals may see the moral light and give up their unjust posture, but as Reinhold Niebuhr has reminded us, groups are more immoral than individuals. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have not yet engaged in a direct action movement that was well-timed according to the timetable of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. It has been a tranquilizing thalidomide, relieving the emotional stress for a moment, only to give birth to an ill-formed infant of frustration. We must come to see with the distinguished jurist of yesterday that justice too long delayed is justice denied. We have waited for more than 340 years for our constitutional and God-given rights. The nation of Asia and Africa are moving with jet-like speed towards the goal of political independence, and we still creep at a horse and buggy pace towards the gaining of a cup of coffee at a lunch counter. I guess it's easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say wait. But when you have never seen vicious mobs lynch your mother and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, When you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, brutalize, and even kill your black brothers and sisters with impunity, when you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your 6-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park that has just been advertised on television, and see the tears welling up in her little eyes when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, and see the depressing clouds of inferiority begin to form in her little mental sky, and you see her begin to distort her little personality by unconsciously developing a bitterness towards white people. When you have to concoct an answer for a 5-year-old son who is asking in an agonizing pathos, "Daddy, why do white people treat colored people so mean?" When you take a cross-country drive and find it necessary to sleep night after night in the uncomfortable corners of your automobile because no motel will accept you. When you are humiliated day in and day out by nagging signs reading "white men" and "colored." When you find your first name becomes "nigger" and your middle name becomes "boy," however old you are, and your last name becomes "John." And when your wife and mother are never given the respected title of "Mrs." When you are harried day and haunted by night by the fact that you are a Negro, living constantly at the tiptoe stance, never quite knowing what to expect next, and plagued with the inner fears and outer resentments. When you are forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over and men are no longer willing to be plunged into an abyss of injustice where they experience the bleakness of corroding despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. I must make 2 honest confessions to you, my Christian and Jewish brothers. First, I must confess that over the last 2 years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride towards freedom is not the white citizens, the counselor, or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, "I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I can't agree with the methods of your direst action," who patronistically feels that he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by the myth of time and who constantly advises the Negro to wait until a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from a people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. You spoke of our activity in Birmingham as extreme. At first, I was rather disappointed that fellow clergymen would see my non-violent efforts as those of an extremist. I started to think about that fact. I stand in the middle of 2 opposing forces in the Negro community. One force is of complacency, made up of Negroes who, as a result of long years of oppression, have been so completely drained of self-respect and a sense of somebodiness that they have adjusted to segregation. And a few Negroes in the middle class who, because of a degree of academic and economic security, and that points to a profit from segregation, have unconsciously become insensitive to the problems of the masses. The other force is one of bitterness and hatred and comes perilously close to advocating violence. It is expressed in the various black nationalist groups that are springing up all over the nation. The largest and best known being Elijah Muhammad's Muslim movement. This movement is nourished by the contemporary frustration over the continued existence of racial discrimination. It is made up of people who have lost faith in America, who have absolutely repudiated Christianity, and who have concluded that the white man is an incurable devil. The Negro has many pent-up resentments and latent frustrations. He has to get them out. So let him march sometime. Let him have his prayer pilgrimages to the city hall. Understand why he must have sit-ins and freedom rides. If his repressed emotions do not come out in these nonviolent ways, they will come out in ominous expressions of violence. This is not a threat. It is a fact of history. So I have not said to my people, get rid of your discontent. I have tried to say that this normal and healthy discontent can be channeled through the creative outlet of nonviolent direct action. In spite of my shattered dreams of the past, I came to Birmingham with the hope that the white religious leadership in this community would see the justice of our cause and with deep moral concern serve as a channel through which our just grievances could get to the power structure. I had hoped that each of you would understand, but again, I have been disappointed. I have heard numerous religious leaders of the South call upon their worshipers to comply with desegregation decision because it is the law. But I have longed to hear white ministers say, follow this decree because integration is morally right and the Negro is your brother. In the midst of blatant injustices inflicted upon the Negro, I have watched white churches stand on the sidelines and merely mouth pious irrelevancies and sanctimonious trivialities. In the midst of a mighty struggle to rid our nation of racial and economic injustice, I have heard so many ministers say, those are social issues with which the gospel has no real concern. And I have watched so many churches commit themselves to a completely otherworldly religion which made a strange distinction between body and soul, the sacred and the secular. I hope this letter finds you strong in the faith. I also hope that circumstances will soon make it possible for me to meet each of you, not as the integrationist or a civil rights leader, but as a fellow clergyman and Christian brother. Let us all hope that the dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding be lifted from our fear-drenched communities, and in some not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all of their scintillating beauty. Yours for the cause of peace and brotherhood, M.L. King Jr.
That was Gabriel Hannons with Letters from a Birmingham Jail by Martin Luther King Jr. The last organization we want to call attention to is the National Black Justice Coalition, an organization that focuses on the rights and needs of Black LGBTQIA individuals. Their website, nbjc.org, is full of information, and if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, there is a place to donate. Our final featured artist of the day is Aladdin Demps, who will be performing an impassioned spoken word poem entitled Black Privilege. Aladdin is a writer, artist, and educator.
Black privilege is knowing that you can never relax. Nerves like the sound of bullets rattled like dice in a sweaty palm. It is wanting to birth a child, but being terrified because you will bring a black child into this world, and he will become a target for nooses of knotted words, and she will become a lioness larger than her cage. Black privilege is knowing that you can be poached and tagged and killed at a whim for your skin on a wall, hot iron tossed on a roulette table. Your number comes up, nigger. Blue lives matter. And in the heat of the moment, your black face becomes a caricature, a menace to society, or Eveline from The Wiz, Bebo, or Alonzo, or Nino Brown. When the guns come out, you become every nigger they have ever seen on Cops, or CSI, or just an R. Kelly music video trapped in the fucking closet, except the closet looks a lot like a penitentiary, or the inside of a casket, closed, so your mother doesn't have to know what happened to the black diamonds and the black pearls. The precious mysticism she birthed from between her thighs. Black privilege is saying names in one breath until they become meaning's white noise to glistening white ears. It is fearing highway driving alone because fuck, no one can hear you scream. It is visiting New Orleans and having a panic attack because you have to drive through Alabama and Mississippi and you can't breathe right for hours. Please don't run out of gas. Please don't pull me over. Please, Boussey, come back because shit done got too real. Black privilege is people saying you only call out when the victim is black and the cop is white. Black privilege is no one saying all lives matter until you try to say that yours does. Black privilege is acting like a coon, kissing up to the white man, but when the lights come up, you will always be a nigger and draw bullets like the Reagan administration drew indictments, and the media will wallow in your blood like pigs in shit because black lives lost sell papers and raise ratings. Black privilege is being so damn tired that you wonder if you have died. And this is hell. This is the absence of God. This is your punishment for the insurmountable sin of the melanin in your skin, and from within you turn off the lights. There is no one home to destroy, because there is nothing left in you to take but your life, and that matters so little to the world around you that you will wrap it in kente cloth colored paper and hand it over to whoever has the best aim. Black privilege is dodging drugs, dodging jail, dodging the stereotypes, dodging through the school system like a fucking gazelle and not being fast enough to dodge a bullet we never saw coming. Black privilege is being alive to write a fucking poem, because I can breathe, because I have not yet been distilled into a hashtag or a disembodied head on a hoodie, a decal on my best friend's 2004 Honda Accord, because my blood has not yet watered the stunted rose of revolution. Black privilege is talking into a vacuum. Black privilege is knowing that this is a part of history that will never be in any book. Black privilege is worrying that we're crazy because they tell us we are crazy. Black privilege is knowing racism exists, and knowing that one black president doesn't change the fact that the watchers aren't being watched, but they damn sure shooting. Ah, made you look. Black privilege is people getting angry when Beyonce tries to give you a little bit of life to ease the absence of the ones they took. Huh. And they say black privilege doesn't fucking exist. Say black privilege doesn't fucking exist. Black privilege doesn't fucking exist.
And that was Aladdin Demps with Black Privilege. That concludes our night. There was a lot said by the artist tonight, and all of it needed to be heard by all of us. We want to thank the individuals who submitted their work for us for this episode. We can only imagine how difficult the process was to be living this reality right now and trying to put it on paper. Thank you for your talent. The last thing we want to do is read the list of names of people whose lives were taken from them due to police brutality, white supremacy, or their courage to stand up and say there's something wrong with this broken and racist system. This list is not complete. In the days following the death of George Floyd, there have been approximately hundreds of incidences of police brutality related to the protests. Keep seeking justice. Keep pushing for change. Emmett Till, Medgar Evers, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Henry Smith, John Crawford III, Michael Brown, Azelle Ford, Dante Parker, Michelle Cousseau, Mary Turner, Laquan McDonald, Malcolm X, Tanisha Anderson, Akai Gurley, Tamir Rice, Rumaine Brisbane, Jerame Reed, Matthew Ajibade, James N. Powell Jr., Frank Smart, Natasha McKenna, Tony Robinson, Anthony Hill, Maya Hall, Philip White, Eric Harris, Walter Scott, William Chapman II, Alexia Christian, Brendan Glenn, Victor Manuel La Rosa, Jonathan Sanders, Freddie Carlos Gray Jr., Joseph Mann, Salvado Ellswood, Sandra Bland, Albert Joseph Davis, Darius Stewart, Billy Ray Davis, Samuel Dubose, Michael Sabby, Brian Keith Day, Christian Taylor, Troy Robinson, Ashams Pharaoh Manley, Felix Cumie, Keith Harrison McLeod, Junior Prosper, Lamontez Jones, Patterson Brown, Dominic Hutchinson, Anthony Ashford, Alonzo Smith, Tyree Crawford, India Kager, Levante Biggs, Michael Lee Marshall, Jamar Clark, Richard Perkins, Philip Pannell, Nathaniel Harris Pickett, Benny Lee Tigner, Miguel Espinal, Michael Noel, Kevin Matthews, Betty Jones, Quintonio LeGrere, Keith Childress Jr., Janet Wilson, Randy Nelson, Antrony Scott, Wendell Celestine, David Joseph, Callan Rockmore, Dijon Perkins, Christopher Davis, Marco Loud, James Bird Jr., Peter Gaines, Tori Robinson, Darius Robinson, Kevin Hicks, Mary Trujillo, Demarcus Samer, Amadou Diallo, Willie Tillman, Terrell Thomas, Sylville Smith, Demetrius Dubose, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Terrence Crutcher, Paul O'Neill, Alteria Woods, Bobby Russ, Jordan Edwards, Aaron Bailey, Ronell Foster, Stephen Clark, Corey Carter, Antoine Rose II, Taylor Rock, Malice Green, Ramarley Graham, Elijah McLean, Ayana Stanley Jones, Botham Jean, Pamela Turner, Dominique Clayton, Sean Bell, Atatiana Jefferson, Jamel Roberson, James Lee Alexander, Ryan Matthew Smith, Derek Ambrose Jr., Addie Mae Collins, Carol Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, Cynthia Wesley, Nicholas Hayward Jr., Christopher Whitfield, Willie McCoy, Victor White III, Marcus Dion Smith, Martin Lee Anderson, Christopher McCorvey, Bradley Blackshire, Timothy Thomas, Reginald Doucet Jr., Danroy DJ Henry Jr., Carvis Gamble Jr., Eric Reason, Corinne Gaines, Rakia Boyd, Keontae Spencer, Darius Tarver, Wayne Arnold Jones, Manuel Ellis, Victor Duffy Jr., Kobe Demock Heisler, Clinton R. Allen, Timothy Kaufman, Corey Jones, Tyree King, Eric Garner, Miles Hall, Kendrick Johnson, Charlena Lyles, Michael Lorenzo Dean, Trayvon Martin, Renisha McBride, Oscar Grant III, Brianna Taylor, Khalif Browder, Darian Hunt, Troy Hodge, William Green, Ahmad Arbery, Dion Johnson, Tony McDade, Jamel Floyd, George Floyd, Rayshard Brooks. What if these were your children? What if these were your parents? What if this was you? We have the privilege to take a break from the ugliness that is happening in the world every day, but that is a privilege that is inaccessible to people of color, again, specifically Black and Indigenous people. It hurts to say these names. It hurts to live this reality. But recognize any privilege you have and use that to push forward change. In a few seconds, when this podcast ends, you have the privilege to turn off your device, but our Black and brown neighbors don't have the ability to turn off the reality they live in. Good night. Black Lives Matter.